Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. The United States Supreme Court ruled back in 2002 that the execution of individuals with intellectual disabilities violated the Constitution's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. But that wasn't the final word, because the court also turned around and left it to the states to decide who is intellectually disabled and who isn't. Well, today the Supreme Court returns to the question of intellectual disability in the case of Moore v. Texas. The court's going to decide if the state of Texas has used unfair mental health criteria to sentence Bobby Moore to die. Bobby Moore has been on death row since 1980. Jordan Stryker is professor of law at the University of Texas at Austin and director of the Capital Punishment Center there. Jordan Stryker, welcome.
Nice to be with you.
As I said, the court already ruled back in 2002 that executing a mentally disabled person violates the Constitution, the Eighth Amendment. Why is Mr. Moore's case at issue here?
Well, even though the Supreme Court held that persons with intellectual disability are exempt from the death penalty, almost from the beginning, Texas has resisted that decision. The Supreme Court's decision did not give states the right to decide a new substantive definition of intellectual disability. It gave states some latitude in terms of structuring the procedures for making the determination, but Texas has come up with its own ad hoc, improvised, anti-clinical approach to intellectual disability, which has created enormous problems in Texas.
Now, you called it an anti-intellectual approach. It's been criticized as not adhering to medical or psychologically accepted criteria for establishing whether Mr. Moore and others are in fact intellectually disabled. But there's a really odd sort of twist in this case that actually has to do with the John Steinbeck novel of Mice and Men. Can you explain?
Well, after the Supreme Court made its decision that persons with intellectual disability should be exempt from execution, the Texas court said, we don't really think that all people who meet traditional clinical criteria should be exempt. The court said, we think the exemption should be reserved for folks like the fictional character Lenny from Of Mice and Men. And of course, in that novel, Lenny didn't understand at all that he was hurting other people. Lenny is sort of the archetype of the very severely impaired person and doesn't really correspond to the class of people that the Supreme Court intended to exempt.
So Lenny is also a fictional character. There has been this idea, as I understand it, in the scientific community and even in the legal community, that intellectual disability for this purpose hovers somewhere around a 70 IQ. Does Texas have here what can be called a medically or scientifically valid standard, whether they use Lenny or not, of getting to that mark that other states have accepted?
No, Texas is pretty much on board with the IQ requirement. And in this case, it's pretty clear that Mr. Moore meets the significantly sub-average intellectual functioning that's reflected in a low IQ. The debate has really focused on what kinds of adaptive deficits an individual has to have in order to satisfy the definition. And Texas has come up with its own almost unprecedented criteria for gauging adaptive deficits, things like whether or not the individual is capable of lying, as though persons with intellectual disability would simply not have that ability, or whether or not a person can react coherently to questions, which again is a caricature. The Texas has really created a caricature of what persons with intellectual disability look like, and really is focusing on people with moderate or severe intellectual disability rather than all of the folks who fall within the bottom 3% of intellectual functioning.
So there are two parts here, I suppose, when the court eventually rules on this case. I mean, there is the narrow issue, really, of whether Bobby Moore lives or dies, according to how the court rules. And then, of course, there's the broader issue of whether the Texas standard is a constitutionally accepted standard and other states might follow suit.
I actually don't think other states will follow suit. Texas has really gone its own way in crafting this test and in invoking The fictional character Lenny. Texas has had a history of sort of defying Supreme Court constitutional protections in capital cases. And I really think this is about the Supreme Court correcting the Texas approach rather than it fearing that the Texas approach is going to spread to other jurisdictions.
Where are the likely votes here in the court? Is there a chance for a 4-4 deadlock? And if so, what would that mean for Mr. Moore?
Well, when you have eight justices, there's always a chance for a 4-4 deadlock, and it's hard to predict how the court is going to decide cases like this. And if the court did deadlock, that would be bad news for Mr. Moore, and it would be bad news for the folks on Texas's death row with intellectual disability.
Do we have any sense from prior rulings, from prior approaches to the issue of intellectual disability where this court might land?
I think we do. The Supreme Court recently held in a Florida case that Florida could not defy conventional clinical criteria in deciding who counts as intellectually disabled for the exemption. And so the Supreme Court has been enforcing the decision that it made in 2002. And I think that it rarely takes court cases like this unless it wants to correct what the state court has done. And I think the signs are quite clear that the court is concerned with Texas's overzealousness in defying the Atkins decision.
The case of Moore v. Texas goes before the Supreme Court today. At issue, rules in Texas that define in perhaps a capricious way who qualifies as intellectually disabled when it comes to the death penalty, and it might be a good time to reread Of Mice and Men. Jordan Stryker, professor of law at University of Texas at Austin, director of the Capital Punishment Center. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you.